Greetings, this is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. It is a privilege today to proclaim God's word as I continue in the teaching series called Leverage Your Life. The goal of this teaching series is to help us to focus, to be better aligned, and to have a reminder of some core values that believers of Christ should be living by. How can we use our skills, gifts, and passion in the places that God has placed us? These places such as our homes, our work, our social settings, for the mission of God. Today, the topic of our time together is the kingdom priority to deepen your devotion in Jesus, in which we will study the importance of abiding in Jesus. In other words, being so deeply rooted in Jesus that we are changed accordingly to the will of God, the Father, so that our lives can carry out the mission of our Father. Specifically, three key principles I pray we glean from the passage this morning as we discuss what it means to deepen your devotion. These principles include understanding that in order to deepen your devotion, you must be clean. To deepen your devotion, you must have the right connection. And finally, to deepen your devotion, realize that you will be commissioned. Overall, I hope we all will be challenged to ditch any shallowness that may be present in our relationship with Jesus, but instead deepen our devotion to Jesus to bring God glory. Please get your Bible and follow along as we go through John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Again, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And the title of today's message is Deepen Your Devotion. The New King James Version of the text reads, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. To provide context, these are the words of Jesus to his disciples on the night he was betrayed. In chapter 14, verse 31, it ends with Jesus saying, Arise, let us go from here. So at this point, they left the upper room and began on their way towards the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus here over and over commanded his disciples to abide. Jesus has spent a lot of time with his disciples, shared meals with them, served with them, journeyed with them. Now, as he nears his last days of ministry on this earth, he gives some important commands. These commands are pertaining to us here today also. This command to abide. We will get into this meaning of abiding and its implications in just a bit. But first, let's just understand the foundation. Jesus starts off by painting a picture by telling a story about the relationship between the vine dresser, and the branches. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine. This is actually one of the seven I am statements in the book of John. Jesus says, I am the bread of life in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, I am the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the door of the sheep in John chapter 10, verse 7. I am the good shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John chapter 14, verse 6. And I am the true vine here in John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. The word true that Jesus says is important because the disciples who are hearing Jesus speak will be very familiar of how the vine was a symbol for Israel in the Old Testament. Sometimes the vine was fruitful, but most of the time it was not fruitful. In other words, it was not pleasing to the Lord because it did not bring God glory as it should. Jesus here is saying the opposite, saying, I am the true vine. He lets them know that he was the Messiah and the fulfillment of the covenant of the whole Testament. Jesus goes on to say, my Father is the vine dresser. God, our Heavenly Father, is the vine dresser. Depending on the Bible translation you have, it may say gardener or husbandman or farmer. Simply put, the vine dresser is the one who is taking charge of caring for the vine. Ultimately, the one who is in charge. We must know that in this text, Jesus is referring to God the Father. And what Jesus says in verse 2 is what gives us our first principle in deepening your devotion. That principle is to have a deepened devotion, you must be cleaned. Jesus says in verse 2 that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The branches in this illustration that Jesus is using refers to the disciples. Jesus says that he is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser, and the branches are the disciples, his followers. To put it in our context, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a branch. Let me stop right there. In me, that implies a connection. Due to this connection, there is an expectation of production. The purpose is to bear or to produce fruit. To bear fruit simply means to grow in character, to become more like Christ and reflect the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, which lets us know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Depending on if you bear fruit or not, in other words, depending on if your branch fulfills its purpose in being connected to the vine dresser, the Father, and carried out its two tasks, if the branch that is connected is not fruitful, it is taken away. But if it is fruitful, the branch is pruned. To be pruned means to be cut. This cutting is necessary for the vines to be clean of any filthy impurities. This cutting is necessary so that the fruit can be produced to its maximum. On the other hand, if the unfruitful branches are not taken away, it can negatively affect the other branches. This is because branches are in competition for resources. All of the vine's branches draw water and nutrients from the same root system. A dense, unpruned vine with too many branches would cause the plant to spread its limited resources too thinly, resulting in a large number of grapes that are small, less sweet, and less flavorful. By pruning the grapevine, the vine dresser removes the excess branches and foliage, forcing the vine's energy to be directed towards a smaller number of the remaining shoots and fruit clusters. This results in larger, healthier, and more fruitful grapes. Christians, know you must go through the pruning process from time to time. If you don't go through the pruning process, it means that you are not producing fruit. And if you are not producing fruit, the Father will take you away. So when you are pruned by God, although it may be a painful process, in the end, it's a great blessing. God will cut you so that you can produce some fruit in some areas of your life. For example, God may cut you in the form of having you to endure a difficult season in order to help you build a long-suffering and to enlarge your understanding of being faithful. You may be pruned to the point where things in your world may seem to be in total chaos just to help you persevere and to build you in the fruit of peace. Or you may be pruned by the Father to where you face someone who is close to you who have betrayed you, and you have to offer forgiveness. And all the purpose is to help you increase in the fruit of love and self-control. Ultimately, you must remember that although you bear fruit, you are still pruned to bear more fruit. We see in verse 3, Jesus tells the disciples, "You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you." Jesus says, "You have been cleaned," which means pruned, because of my word. In Psalms 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." And in verse 11 of the same song, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." The word of God cleanses, and if you keep it in your heart, you will keep you from sinning against God. Now, this brings us to the second principle in having a deepened devotion. You must have the right connection. In verse 4, Jesus tells his disciples, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." To abide in me. This word abide is repeated quite a bit in the next few verses. The Greek word for the word abide is meno, M-E-N-O, and it occurs over 40 times in the Gospel of John. It means to remain in, to stay in, or to dwell. To abide means to become infused with something. Because of this, you are to abide in me, I in you. Jesus is saying to be consumed with me, remain in me, dwell in me, hang out with me, but with me some deeply, so intimately that you will constantly illuminate because you are constantly in my presence. And the outside world will know that the power of Jesus is manifested in your life. Now, this is a word of caution. That if our relationship with Jesus has become so shallow to the point that everything that you do your Christian journey may have become just a check off box. We have to be very careful because we can do some very Christian things, but only going through the motions because we're not abiding. We ask ourselves the question of, do I have a check off box because I'm a Christian? Do I check off the box of church attendance, but not really coming to worship service with an attitude of expectation or communion with God while fellowshipping with others? Do I give to the church or to missions or to special initiatives just to check off a box, just to say I have done a great deed? Instead of seeking Jesus on how to steward your finances to obediently be in line with God's word because you believe that faithfully giving can make a mighty impact for the kingdom of God as he intended. It can be whatever, very good things that may seem good, but if you are not abiding in Jesus, then there's not going to be any fruit from anything you do. It will be no production, no produce. In verse 5, Jesus says again that I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you notice here in verse 5, there is what Jesus lets you know what abides in him is. There is a natural progression that occurs when you abide in Jesus. When you are deeply rooted in your relationship with Jesus, if you look back up to verse 2, it says there is some fruit. The branches prune. But once the branches prune, the latter part of verse 2 says that there is more fruit. Here in verse 5, we are told as we continue to abide, you will bear much fruit. When you abide, you bear some fruit. Continue to abide and be pruned, you bear more fruit. And progressing on to much fruit, it all hinges on abiding. That's progression. When you abide in Jesus, it takes time. In other words, the more we abide in Jesus, the deeper we grow in him. The deeper the roots are in him. The more we abide, the more our character reflects his character, and the thoughts and actions of our life will be aligned with his character. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. To abide deeper requires growing in your relationship, which takes time. Not necessarily a length of time, but devoted time. Time that is not tainted by the world and all that is going on in it. This reminds me of a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. It is, when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year and bring happiness to his wife whom he has taken. In the Old Testament days, the men were expected to fight on the behalf of the nation of Israel. However, if the man was recently married, he was relieved of these duties. This was to provide the man and his wife the time to grow in their relationship, establish some firm roots in their marriage. This is because if devoted time is not spent in abiding in one another, then there will be zero chance of having a fruitful marriage as God intended. The end of verse 5 says that without me, you can do nothing. And by nothing, he means absolutely nothing. Nothing of eternal value of kingdom significance can be accomplished in our strength or relying on our own resources. When we believe that, we will abide in him, which means we will rely on him moment by moment for strength, for wisdom, for patience, for resources, and for anything else we may need. As a result, our relationship with Jesus deepens. We experience his provision and his power and open ourselves more deeply to who Jesus is as he lives his life through us. Then and only then will we leverage our lives for the sake of his mission. The point is, we must spend significant time with Jesus in order to bear fruit, go through the pruning process in order to bear more fruit, so that ultimately we can be established as a branch that bears much fruit. And going on a bit further, in verse 6, Jesus tells the disciples what happens if anyone does not abide in him. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you do not abide in Jesus, you are cast out, thrown away. Picture a branch lying on the ground. It is dead. It is dead because it is not connected to anything. Therefore, it produces nothing. In the same way, when we become stagnant or start letting our sin consume our lives, we are no longer abiding. We're no longer able to produce fruit. Therefore, these branches are gathered together and thrown into a fire and burned, as the scripture says. Just think about in your yard. What do you do with the tree limbs or branches that have fallen to the ground? You gather them up and you get rid of them. Either you take them to the dump or you put it in a pile in the back of the yard or in a barrel. and you burn it. Only through a connection to the vine will you produce fruit. And because of this connection to the vine, the branch is then pruned by the Father to bear more fruit. In other words, you Christian, because of your connection to Christ, the Father will care for you and produce a change in you so that you can have a maximum impact for the kingdom of God. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now he brings up here the subject of prayer. I talked about earlier in verse 3 of how the word of God cleans us. But here we are told that if we abide, it also affects our prayers. Jesus said that when you abide, you will ask what you desire. If you are deeply rooted in Christ, you will desire the things of Christ because your life will reflect the character of Christ because you are in tune with Christ. When you ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. The beautiful thing about this is that the will be done for you because it is the Father's will. Here is a good time to talk more specifically about this abiding in Jesus. Up to this point in the scripture, we are commanded to abide in Jesus. In my translation, the New King James Version, it is used 6 times alone up to verse 8, or 9 times if you count up to verse 10. There is no doubt that abiding is important. We are called to be rooted in him and to dwell in him. But how? The question that we must answer is, how can we dwell? How can we abide in Jesus? Several things come to mind. Well, when we abide in Jesus, he demands worship, reading and meditating on God's word, prayer, sacrifice, and service. And there are others, but that's just naming a few. For the time that we have together on today, I'm going to talk a little deeper about 2 of these that are necessary for Christians to focus on to abide in Jesus. And especially since there are 2 specifically referenced in verse 7. Which is God's word and prayer, especially in the books of Acts that discuss the details of the start of the early church and the impact that it had for God's kingdom because of the deepened devotion of the saints, praying together and being in God's word, especially in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now, in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were not being given the daily distribution of food. Understand that this issue was major. Widows in the ancient world typically had no ability to work and nobody to care for them. Women were starving. Their lives were in danger. And importantly, the apostles didn't ignore that problem. That the leaders of the church created a system, and this system of establishing deacons that made sure everyone who needed help received help. But the leaders of that same church also made it a point to prevent that major problem from becoming their main priority. The 12, the scripture says, made their priority clear that although serving is important, but in verse 4 of Acts chapter 6, it says that it was necessary for them to give themselves continually to be devoted to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That is what I want to focus, put front and center today. The necessity for the church, the body of Christ, to be devoted to prayer and to the word of God. Prayer and the word of God will help us bear fruit because both of these are necessary to keep us deeply connected to Jesus, to be abiding in him. We must saturate ourselves in the presence of God by prayer and by reading and meditation of his word. Unfortunately, there is a great sin in the church because of the neglect and the way we have so watered down the importance of prayer, both personal prayer as well as corporate prayer. In addition, the way we have watered down the word of God to the point where we have gotten to the point of debating what the word of God says and if it's true. But we shouldn't be so saturated with the word of God and prayer that people should walk about us, come near us, and get a scent, not of our perfume or our body spray or our cologne, but the fresh, distinctive aroma as described in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 through 16, of being filled with the Father, of abiding in Jesus, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you have been reading God's word, people should notice something about you. When you have been praying, people should be able to sense it. Recall the scene in the movie A War Room. There was a husband and wife taking a tour of the house, and they're looking to purchase with a real estate agent played by Priscilla Shire. She's going through the house, showing the wallpaper to the lady, but the husband seems to be lagging back. He's kind of struck by this walk-in closet, and he's walking in and out of the closet. Just can't figure out what's going on. Eventually, he says, just sensing this aroma, a familiar aroma, because it turned out that he was a retired pastor. He said, "Somebody's been praying in here." He recognized the aroma of prayer. But here, us too, people should recognize the aroma of prayer and the word of God on us. Now, here are some practical applications to abide in Jesus with the purpose of growing in him. Again, I'm only talking about the word of God and prayer, even though there are so many other ways that we can abide. But first, let's talk about the word of God. I'm going to issue you 3 challenges. There are more, but just to keep it simple and practical, I'm going to issue you 3 challenges because I want you to apply and benefit from the fruit that God will produce in your life because of it. They may seem trivial, or you may say, you know what, I'm already doing these things, but just give it a chance. First, for the word of God, whenever you go into a corporate worship setting, bring a physical copy of the Bible. That's number one. Here's the second challenge. Commit to a 30-day reading plan. Now, I'm not just talking about going to a Bible app and just picking out a 30-day reading plan, or going to a back of a devotion or back of your Bible and picking a 30-day reading plan. No, I mean to sit down intentionally in some quiet time with the Lord and asking him in prayer, "Lord, for the next 30 days, what do you want me to glean from your word?" And to see what the Lord says. Maybe it is reading a couple chapters. Maybe it's reading the whole New Testament. Or maybe it's just to focus on one verse for 30 days. Third, commit to read the Bible exclusively for 30 days. Read the Bible with your spouse, your children, your family. But I believe that oftentimes we have so many resources that we often neglect the source. So my challenge is for the next 30 days to commit to read through the Bible exclusively. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, how am I to understand what I'm reading? That's the beauty of it. Take the next 30 days to seek the Lord, to trust that he will reveal to you what he wants to reveal to you in his word. And ask the Lord to give you a desire to read his word. So I challenge you to write those challenges down. Bring a physical copy of the Bible to a worship and corporate gathering. Commit to a 30-day reading plan. And also for 30 days, commit to reading the Bible exclusively. Next, let's talk about prayer. Here again, it would be 3 challenges. Challenge number 1, get a personal prayer journal or a notebook. Possibly get something small that you can carry with you at all times. Somewhere you can consistently write your prayers to God throughout the day and reflect on them. And it also can help to have a little planner where you can write down different things that you may pray on specific days. For the second challenge, when you pray, pray with an open Bible as much as possible. You must pray using the prayer book. Read passages of scripture and pray through the scripture. You cannot pray effectively without the prayer book. You have to be saturated with the word of God so that you are in line with God's will that is revealed through his word to pray effective prayers. 3, connect with the prayer ministry and commit to corporate prayer. Get around people who desire to pray, have the conviction to pray, and who are learning to intentionally pray. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, there is a weekly prayer meeting at 6 p.m. on Wednesday evenings in the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church. You are more than welcome to come join us as we come together and pray corporately. I pray that you would take these challenges seriously and consider doing these things. And you may be sitting there in your home, in your car, or wherever you may be, and saying, well, you know what? I'm already doing some of these things. Well, I have 2 words for you. Go deeper. And there's so much more on prayer that I can discuss and that we need to learn. And if the Lord wills, at 11:15, when we do our worship gatherings at the Outreach Center in Exmoor Baptist Church, I plan in December to do a teaching series on prayer specifically. So I invite you out. Now, when we deepen our devotion, it's necessary for us to be clean. In other words, to be pruned. We just discussed in verses 4-7 that we can only deepen our devotion if we have the right connection in Christ, and some practical ways to have the right connection as we are committed to God's word and to prayer. But here is a summation in verse 8. There is another principle. When we deepen your devotion, you will be commissioned. And verse 8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." When we abide in Christ, God is glorified because God's purpose for you is to bear fruit. The goal of abiding is the glory of God. To glorify God means to praise him, to magnify him, to make his name holy, to honor his name. It is the whole design of being dependent branches grafted into the vine to give the glory to God. When we abide and bear fruit, then is how we become disciples. Disciples are followers of Christ who Christ sends out for the work of his ministry. We are purposed for the work of ministry. The more disciples that are made, the kingdom of God grows as more people come under the reign of the sovereign king. So that is the challenge for you to the believer, to the Christian, to the follower of Christ. How will you abide in the Lord starting right now? What do you need to repent of? If you're sitting there in your seat and you're saying in your mind, well, I'm good right now. I'm good how my life is. Even if my relationship with Jesus is kind of shallow, I have no complaints. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you have that type of attitude, there is a clear sign there's something wrong with the connection. And I'm here to ask, do you truly love Jesus? Here's my plea to you, the lost. You may be seeking. You may be saying, you know what? I don't believe this Jesus stuff. I don't understand what this abiding is. Well, first, here's my challenge to you is to prayerfully consider the connection. It all starts with the connection. And that connection is to the vine Jesus. You see, we have a holy God who cannot tolerate sin. Sin is when we disobey God's command and his will. Sin separates us from God. But God, knowing that we cannot atone for our sins. In other words, we cannot make up for our sins. However, he has made a way through his son, Jesus, who died on the cross, who shed his blood on the cross for each and every one of you and for me. That if we were to repent of our sins and we were to confess those sins and believe in our hearts that Jesus died for those sins, the word of God said that he will forgive us and we can have eternal life with him. That is my challenge to you. Will you make a connection to Jesus today? Let me pray. Dear Father God, I thank you, Lord, for just calling on us, Lord. Thank you for leading us, Lord. Thank you for this time in your word this day, Lord. Thank you for divine Jesus who connects us to you. Thank you for being the vine dresser who cares for us, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that we can be fruitful branches, Lord God, who bears fruit. And when we go through the pruning, Lord God, give us strength to persevere and go through the process, Lord God, so we can bear more fruit. And I also pray for the one who is listening, Lord God, who may be seeking, Lord God, who may be lost, Lord God, who may be seeking hope, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that a connection with Jesus is made right now, Lord God. I pray that people will submit their lives, Lord God, to your son, Jesus, Lord God, and make him Lord over their life, Lord. I pray that everything that was said and done in this message, Lord God, is pleasing to you. In all things I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. This is Clarence Bailey III, pastor of Shore Community Bible Fellowship. Thank you for listening to this message. If you have a question about today's message, or if you have a prayer request, or have decided to follow or renew your commitment to Jesus, we would like to hear from you. Please call us at 757-710-6843 or email us at shorecommunitybible@gmail.com. Again, that phone number is 757-710-6843. Also, come out and worship with us at 11:15 on Sunday mornings at the Outreach Center of Exmoor Baptist Church, located on the corner of Ockahannock and Main in Exmoor, Virginia. At Shore Community Bible Fellowship, we desire to see everyone worship God, grow in his word, serve others, and plant churches. May God's peace and blessings be upon you and your family.